Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Why Bitcoin Podcast. Back by popular demand, I'm joined with Adam O'Brien. Adam, welcome back to the show, man.
What's up, man? I gotta say, I can't imagine I'm back by popular demand. Who are these nobodies looking for me?
It's just me, man. You're popular in my eyes.
Oh,
dude.
Wow. Well, hey, I'm honored and I appreciate and I appreciate the love.
Absolutely, dude. I like talking to Bitcoiners, and there's certain Bitcoiners. And I didn't get a chance to meet you, dude. Where were you at the Bitcoin Sats market?
Oh, dude, gutted. I forget exactly why, but I couldn't be there. However, I will be at the one coming up in March. So
right on.
I'm not sure if this is airing by then, but if it's not, like, I'm so proud of Ben and what he's doing. It's so cool. I've taken inspiration, and I'm going to hijack the opening of this, and I hope you don't mind. I found there's a beef rancher by my house that I've been buying like beef from. And this morning we met, we had coffee, and I've orange pilled him. He is going to be accepting Bitcoin for beef, and I am so excited for it.
That is very exciting, man. Yeah, there's a lot of Bitcoiners here in Alberta that are selling beef for Bitcoin. It seems like that number is growing. So it's going to become easier and easier to source meat. Dude, that's good shit, man. More orange-pilled people, the better, in my opinion.
100%.
Okay, dude. I don't know how you feel about gambling, but I have a wager to set for you and me for this episode. Are you open to this idea? Okay.
Yes.
I'll give you the idea. You are, this is going to be difficult. Me and you are both in the camp of creating content for people to ingest and learn about Bitcoin, whether it be Twitter videos or podcasts, whatever it is, it's something that you seem to like doing. I've seen a few of your videos come up on Twitter. They're good shit. Now, one thing, I was listening back to our episode that I had you on a few months back or a few weeks back or whenever it was. And me and you have an issue. Okay. The issue is that we are like, and you know, people. I thought it was me. And I was like, Adam does it too. Adam does it too. And I had Julian on, and he's really fucking good at keeping those words out of his mouth. So my wager to you is this: whoever and listener, pay attention. Me and Adam are going to put in our best effort to not say like, or you know, or filler words. Fuck. See, I just did it.
Garbage. Fiat words. These are fiat words.
Fiat words. So this is the wager. So every time one of us says it, 1,000 sats gets added to a pot. Whoever says more over the course of the episode pays those 1,000 sats to whichever listener tells us who won or who lost first. Are you open to this idea? And will it hurt a lot? Or is that too much? Is 1,000 too much?
I don't know. How many times did we say it last time? I feel...
It's like 14 times every 3 minutes.
It's going to be like hundreds of thousands of sats.
I know. I'm nervous. Okay. It'll either be 1,000 sats per like or 100, depending on how bad we do, but we'll put in a conscious effort. Sounds good.
You know what? I just stopped myself from saying it. So I'm already, it's keyed up in my brain, but I mean, if we go for a long time, then I'm going to be in trouble here. The lightning wallet that I've just set up is going to be draining.
It's so difficult, dude. It's so difficult, but
do you know why Julian is so good at this? He's a script wizard. He is an absolute Nazi behind the camera or in front of the camera with his scripts. He tells me he has every single second scripted out in his videos. And when I get in front of the camera, I just let it flow. It just runs from my brain to my lips. Sometimes I just think with my lips. It's crazy.
Dude, I do the same thing. I just speak what I want to say, and I say things before I even fully finish my thought. So when he's making TikToks or whatever, you have to make all of those seconds count. So I get it. Whereas, you know, Bitcoiners, we just go on rants. And then next thing you know, you've said so many things and you don't even know how you got to where you were. So it's difficult, man, but I think it does make a difference. So, okay. So you're in for the wager. You're a friendly gentleman.
Let's hit it. I think 100 stats is probably a better okay. target than 1,000. I played in the office. There it is. There's one right there. I played ping pong with our director of product our compliance officer, and we were just going back and forth. We usually wager on the ping pong games, and out of habit, we just wagered 100K on the ping pong game. And before realizing it, it's like, that was like $50 or $60 or something insane. And I remember a time not too long ago when 100K was like $6. Oh, there's a like. So I understand completely
how this can go. It adds up quick. Yeah, sats adds up quick. It's an insane thing, but it's okay. So maybe it'll be 100. Okay, I'm glad you're on board. This will be fun. Let me... Next opening, that was the pre-opening, second opening. I'm going to take a page out of Daniel Prince's handbook. Are you familiar with the Once Bitten podcast?
Yes, I was actually just on the Once Bitten podcast a few
weeks ago. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did listen to you on that. Okay, he gets his daughter to ask a question, and my son recently turned 5. Well, he's 5 and a half now. He's going to be 6 soon, and he was upset that I couldn't put him to bed tonight. Mom's putting him to bed. I said, I'm talking to Adam tonight. He's the guy that we buy some of our Bitcoin from.
Oh, I love that.
And so I'm like, buddy, do you have any questions for him? And he said, what? He sells money? Why does he sell money? So can you answer to a 5-year-old why you sell money?
That is one in tune 5-year-old, first and foremost. I have a 7-year-old, 6-year-old, 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And I feel like our kids would get along very, very well. But the reason we sell money is because we need to make it as convenient as it is to use a modern bank where your money is trapped behind the fiat jails. We need to make it that easy, but we need to associate self-custodied Bitcoin. So I like the term we sell money, but I would more say we help people buy, sell, and use Bitcoin. And that use piece is actually what we're going to be leaning into over the next, years. Is I have a crazy dream that people should just be able to interact with Bitcoin without any pain, and they should all be able to do it within the security of their own self-custody. And that's where we're marching towards. So why do we sell money? Well, Bitcoin is so important for the sovereignty of the individuals, and it's very, very difficult to acquire sound money. And so Bitcoin well exists to enable the independence that Bitcoin provides.
Hell yeah. Good answer. I'll let him know. I have him at school.
Go wake him up. Like, what is he doing in bed? Let's go. There's Bitcoin to discuss here.
I cannot wait until the day I can have him on the show. It'll be a great time. He's a hardcore Bitcoiner. I've been pushing Bitcoin propaganda on him since birth. So
That's the way, man. You have to do it. Start him young. My daughter, we were just in Costa Rica at the Freedom Festival, and my daughter was a pizzeria's first ever Bitcoin payment. My little 5-year-old girl, she's 6, I suppose. She just turned 6. She walked up with her Lightning wallet on one of my old phones, and she said, "Puedo pagar con Bitcoin," which means, "Can I pay in Bitcoin?" in Spanish. And the guy looked at her and went, "Wow, I just got set up today to accept Bitcoin, and you are the first customer." And I couldn't believe it. I thought it was so cool.
That is amazing, dude. It's just unbelievable. It gives me so much hope thinking of the kids, because how easy is it to explain to a child what Bitcoin is and how it works and why it's valuable in comparison to explaining to even a full-grown adult how the fiat system works? It's just logical.
My kids fully understand Bitcoin more than some of my friends, admittedly. And I think if I tried to explain the way the fiat system works, first of all, I would stammer over it. I would have a hard time. And it's like literally my job to make the fiat system go away. But my kids 100% have an easier time. It just goes to show you how brainwashed the majority of us are, thinking that the way that we interact with money is helpful and good.
Yeah, or just the fact that we're so led astray from even asking the question of what is money. You know, that's why totally. Bitcoiners kids are going to ask that question, and then they're going to very quickly realize, hey, I want a good money if I want to be able to buy good shit. So
totally.
It's going to be a good future. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's a really nice sentiment to have. I was accused yesterday. I was on a podcast with a couple of left-wing socialist
lovers.
It was okay. Those are difficult for a lot of different reasons, but they accused the Bitcoin community broadly of being doom and gloom. And it kind of, I wouldn't say it hurt my feelings, but it definitely didn't give me the warm fuzzies. And then when I talk to real Bitcoiners, I do have the warm fuzzies. And it's not usually doom and gloom. It's very, very uplifting and exciting for the future. So I don't know. I think it's great. Good sentiment, man. It is uplifting. The future is bright.
The future is bright orange for sure. The problem is that from the outside looking in to a Bitcoin discussion, if you don't understand what two dudes are talking about, like if somebody is not a Bitcoiner and they're listening to me and you talk about Bitcoin, they're going to think we're nuts. And then we say something like, well, the fiat system is about to collapse.
Good point.
The fiat system is about to collapse.
We both just accept it. We're like, oh yeah, yeah, totally. Just move on.
Like we know, because we know, you know, fiat currencies collapse. This is what happens. It's a stated fact.
Yep.
But you need to get to that point. So it looks like doom and gloom. And what happens when fiat currencies collapse? Well, all the shit that's going on today, wars and famine and drought and fucking whatever else, terrible things that can happen, homelessness and starvation and famine.
Totally, man.
It's just, it's drugs.
Overdose, death, premature death, divorce, like all of this stuff. It's brutal, 100%.
It is brutal. The problem is that the socialists think this is solved by a central governing authority that can come and save them from it. Whereas you know Bitcoiners say,
crazy though. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Bitcoiners just say that you have to take care of yourself. It's that simple.
That's it. Like the left wing people are always saying your flavor of government did it wrong. My flavor of government will do it right. They fail to realize that all flavors of government do it wrong because the government is literally designed to just stay in power. That's all they care to do is just stay in power. And you have to pander to the short term. You have to have the most incredibly high time preference to stay in power as a politician. And it's pathetic to think that anyone with a 4-year time frame is going to care about a world that your great-great-granddaughter is going to have to live in. Like, they just don't care.
Yeah, it's impossible. The other thing is anybody, you give anybody the ability to push a button and create money out of nothing, they're going to push it. Every Bitcoiner would, I won't speak for everyone, but if I had the ability to push a button and have unlimited money, I'm pretty sure I would push that button. That's
because you're a closet fiat maximalist, isn't it?
No, it's because
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I just want all the things. No, it's like people tend towards wanting to work less to acquire more. And so you want to put your energy into things that create more value on with less energy. So if you round that all the way down to pushing a button and making all the energy available to you, why the fuck wouldn't you do it? You'd be stupid not to.
Totally.
And that's what government officials or central bankers or all these things do. So yeah, again, looking at the leftist people or socialist side, they just think that, oh, maybe if we just get the right person in charge. There is no right person that can solve this problem. There's only...
It's because every person is corrupt. And that's what people fail to understand is exactly what you said. You cannot put an individual, a human being prone to sin and evil in charge of an unlimited energy machine. Because you're right, they just turned into Thanos, hungry for all the world power.
Exactly. What can you shill this pod? I'll go check it out. How did you even wind up on there? I don't know if this is interesting for my show, but I'm kind of curious. Are you going out actively looking for different people to talk to about Bitcoin? because I think that's an important thing Bitcoiners should do. You know, I, my show is an echo chamber. I'm a Bitcoiner. I talk to hardcore Bitcoiners and I fucking love it. But I think an important thing to do is to branch out and speak to others. So is that something you're actively working on?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man. I think that, you know, positive debate, we get into all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to find the name of it. He tagged me on Twitter. His name was Daniel. The Max Fawcett was the guy that I was kind of speaking to. He's the socialist I think Daniel, I'll find it. Yeah, Dean Blundell. It's Dean Blundell on Twitter. He posted it right on Twitter, the Dean Blundell Show. And it's right there. It's live. I can probably send you I'll send you the link here in a, cool, in a DM, and then you can put it in the show notes or you can watch it later.
Right on. I'll put it in the show notes. Anybody that wants to check out Adam versus Socialist, man, that sounds like a fun little battle to have. I'll have a battle with it.
It's tough because this guy's smart and he's got good facts, but I was actually thinking about it. I was like, why are these facts? How can he pull these facts that are kind of against, you know, what I believe? And none of the facts actually come with logic. And I think if you cherry pick enough facts inside of a small enough time frame, you don't actually need to rely on logic, but over a long enough time frame, logic will always prevail. Kind of like you can fly in a plane, but if you're out of gas, the plane doesn't just drop out of the sky, but eventually the plane does start descending, and you cannot defy the laws of physics for a long time frame. And so we have to come back to logic and pure thought process.
Yeah, that's perfectly said. It's the same way people say, when Bitcoiners say Bitcoin is a hedge against inflation, and then inflation hits and people are like, oh, well, it's going down today.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look
zoom out, buddy.
Yeah, just zoom out, man. Zoom out. Logic and zoom out. It's really it all comes down to. That's so funny. Okay, right
it's
on.
It's so simple.
It is so simple. Bitcoin, so logical, so simple, so beautiful.
Oh, you gotta love it. Gotta
such
love
a,
it.
Such a beautiful world. All right. Well, let's talk about things that aren't working in Bitcoin, because, you know, that's important as well. I have been, listeners of the show will know that I've been on a bit of a crusade against the Lightning Network. And you know what, Adam? I think you have a particular interesting point of view in this, because you've been a Bitcoiner for, how long now? Like 10 years?
11 years. Yeah, okay. Actually, coming up next week, just to keep shilling myself and my stories here, I apologize. it's the 10-year anniversary of us deploying our, like, Alberta's first Bitcoin ATM downtown Edmonton.
Right.
February 24th is the 10-year anniversary. Pretty exciting. So I've been in business for 10 years in the ATM business, anyways, but found Bitcoin in 2013. I've been doing this a long time.
That's really cool, man. I'm almost at my 4-year mark. At the December of this year, I'll hit my 4-year stripes. So I'm excited.
Nice.
I do wonder this, man. Do you feel like you've been around a long time, or do you still feel like you're trying to figure it all out? Because, and I'll tell you why I'm asking. A lot of people are going to look at me and think, oh, this guy's been here for a while. He must know a thing or two. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like looking at all these issues we're going through, changes to the protocol, fucking whatever the given Twitter drama of the day is. And I'm trying to figure out what my point of view is. And it's difficult on some occasions, like this whole Lightning thing, for example. So like when the big block and small block thing was going on, was it obvious what side was correct? How did you fare in that? And does anything happening today remind you of that war? Did it feel like you were in a big block versus small block war while it was going on? Not to dive too much into that whole story, but more just like the emotions or the thinking that you were going through at the given time.
I remember being very, very confused during the block wars. I didn't know enough about Bitcoin technically. I was so ingrained in just Bitcoin ATMs and understanding and trying to figure out how to market the Bitcoin ATMs that I didn't engulf myself too much. So I don't think I had a meaningful opinion back then, but I do remember a very specific point in time. Like the consensus was big blocks bad. And I remember the majority of my circle was Big Blocks Bad. I remember someone I trusted, someone that I respect and still respect to this day, is a big blocker, is what we called them, the big blockers. And I remember being like, what? I kind of thought that big blocks were just bad. And I didn't do enough research. And that's what caused me to actually dive in and do some research, because I think it kind of just took for granted that I had a really good network. You got to think, the Bitcoin, you know, at that time was 2016. The Bitcoin community wasn't huge, and I'd been a part of it for 3 years. So I was kind of just in by default and got to hang out with all these talented, brilliant individuals building and caring deeply about Bitcoin. And I kind of just rode their coattails. And so that's what kind of caused me to be like, oh, I guess I have to do this research for myself. Probably similar to what you're feeling right now, which is you need to do some research for yourself and actually form a meaningful viewpoint. So at the time, no, it didn't feel like block wars, but I do remember watching the fork and feeling a little bit underwhelmed, kind of like every halving I've ever, like, it's just very underwhelming. Bitcoin is so underwhelming at points in time. And I remember feeling a little bit good that the small blocks were there, because at that point I did have a meaningful opinion, I suppose, that these small blocks were going to be the right way to be able to encourage more privacy and more decentralization. Because I think ultimately what would have happened, and again, back to logic, I still believe that big blocks will or would have eliminated the ability to have cheap or at least meaningful nodes and the sync time on a node. Like, think about it. Right now, it takes a couple weeks for a node to sync. What's it going to take for your son's first node to sync? Like, how long is that going to take, man, in 10 years or whenever he sets up his first node? And then what about your grandson? We have to think about this extreme future when you're in Bitcoin, because we're literally creating the money for 100 generations to come, 1,000? How many generations will come and continue to use Bitcoin? It's going to be insane. So I think small blocks is 100% the answer. But at the time, I didn't have that level of insight or at least thought process into the whole thing.
That's fair. Yeah, I do think that, well, nobody's, I won't say nobody, I guess nobody with an asterisk is running a fucking Bitcoin Cash node. I'm sure there's like three people out there running one, but there's no incentive
check.
To.
You can probably check.
You probably find it. You probably find it and overrun it if you wanted to. But yeah, nobody is. And then to answer your question, how long is it going to take my son or your kids? Or the tech will improve as time goes on.
But syncing
too, right?
The blockchain doesn't matter on the tech. Actually just have to download each and every transaction. And each
but
and every
download
block.
Speed, but download speeds will.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, how much faster can we get from fiber? Do we actually expect the bureaucrats to get together and dig better versions of fiber?
Are you saying who will build the roads, but who will build the fiber lines? Yeah.
Who will build the fiber lines? I'm more saying that the fiber lines will be available and the capitalists ready to build them, but the bureaucrats will red tape it to death because they're going to be embarrassed and exposed if the internet gets better, perhaps.
Do you think there could be, there's such a monopoly in Canada of, you're in Canada, I'm in Canada, there's such a, well, it's not a monopoly, I guess it's a duopoly of internet, right? We have Rogers and Bell, and then the facade of all the other ones, which are just running
their sub rounds. Yeah.
they're just running underneath Rogers and Bell. It's all the same lines. Yeah. They own them all. So people say, oh, I have TELUS or I have fucking Kudo, this and that. No, you don't. You have Rogers or Bell.
Rogers or Bell.
Right? And it's sort of the same thing in the States, too. They have AT&T and Sprint. I don't know about Australia. I don't know about UK, but I'm sure it's similar. So what if in a Bitcoin, we're so off topic of where I wanted to go, but what if in the future in a Bitcoin world, there are just capitalists or Bitcoiners that want to create better internet speeds, that'll be something that's important.
That's it's a little bit Elon Musk, right? Like,
yeah,
you got to think Starlink. I use Starlink. I'm a customer out at our cabin. We use Starlink, and it's pretty good. And it's got a little bit, I know it's a facade, but it's got a little bit of sovereign feeling that at least the infrastructure is miles and miles and miles away. So it can't be stripped away from me physically. I know they could turn the servers off and maybe one day they will, but yeah, I don't know, man. I'm every time I speak now, I'm just watching Sats leave my wallet.
Oh yeah, we've both been doing so terrible.
I'm gonna go broke, man.
It's brutal. We're trying our best. Maybe the person counting has given up because it's just too difficult.
It might end up just being 10 Sats per like an and it might be, yeah. And it might still be thousands. I'm not sure.
Somebody's getting rich after this for sure. I want to ask you about, I've actually thought about Starlink a lot. I don't know where you are. I know you're somewhere in Alberta. I hear it's better if you're out further in the country rather than in a city center. Do you know what your download speed, like, do you know what your download speeds and upload speeds are? Can you just run a speed test? What is their max?
I'm north of 280 on download and I've hit upload north of 100. Like, it's good.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
No, it's totally fine. Totally fine. Yeah. Zero infrastructure. A tiny little disc on my roof and that's it. It's solid.
So what would hold them back? I wonder what holds them back from upgrading that. Just making the dishes? I have no idea what the tech is and how it works, but I'm sure you can make the dish better, the signal better somehow, right?
They're going to have to throw different satellites up into the space orbit and create a better way for the signal to get back to home. And that's what will continually improve, I imagine.
Yeah. So all in all, downloading the Bitcoin blockchain ought to not become something that is, well, that's the whole idea of the small blocks, is the idea that it'll always be available for your average person to do.
That's right.
If it's 2 weeks, it's 2 weeks. And also, check this out. But yeah,
the small blocks also pushed and encourages little things like layer two, right? Which I know we're both going to talk about and probably poo-poo a little bit, but layer two doesn't come as fast, or maybe it doesn't come as good. Like, what we have now could actually be a good version of Lightning in comparison to what would be here if we had big blocks. Because maybe the pain wouldn't be so great. Maybe the fees wouldn't be so high that, but it would have got there eventually is the problem.
So this is my whole argument against Lightning, and this is so anti-maxi of me. I'm sure people throwing tomatoes at me as I say shit like this, but Bitcoin is competing with nothing, in my opinion. Bitcoin is a new money. It's better money. It's the only option people have for good money. Lightning is a payments network. Therefore, mm-hmm. Lightning is competing with all the other payments networks. Mm-hmm. So not only Visa and I don't know, all the other payments network, Visa's only, but also it's competing with all the other shit coins. Lightning versus Bitcoin Cash, Lightning versus fucking Nano, or, you know, name your shit coin of choice. Because that's what that's what most of the shit coins were trying to do, was be a payments network. That's why everybody that uses them say against Bitcoin. So the question is Lightning better than any given shitcoin and or the Visa network as is? So how do you feel about it when, my question to you is with Lightning, how did you feel about it when it was first brought up in Bitcoin circles? How did you feel about it as it's been developing? And then how do you feel about it now? And how do you feel about it going into the future?
Good question. And I've seen this topic raised a little bit, this Lightning is a shitcoin, change my mind type of stance. And I think to a certain extent, you probably have a point there. But the main difference between like an XRP and a Lightning or a token of the, you know, pick your flavor, I think is the fact that Lightning is still decentralized. And while very, very difficult to use, I was in Bitcoin in 2013, my first Bitcoin wallet was a Node because there were no mobile wallet clients that I could use. And I had to set up a Node for the Bitcoin ATMs. And then later we got the blockchain wallet on Apple iPhones before they got taken away. Like, it was crazy. And I remember how bad it was. And Wallet of Satoshi was such, like, getting, you know, banned or pre-banned or whatever from the App Store was such a reminder to me just how quickly custodians come and make things very, very good in the space, make things very, very easy, and then how quickly they can be taken away at no fault of the companies. You know, I poo-poo custodians all the time because they're just dangerous, and usually, typically, the same way if you give any human being the ability to print the energy. Well, when you give all your energy to one or two humans at the top of an exchange or whatever, then they have the same power, right? They ultimately have to fight those demons too. And all custodians are the same in that way. And watching the regulators come after these custodial Lightning wallet providers made me really, really understand that Lightning is an important piece, because I have experienced traveling. I have experienced stacking on chain, having to use the Bitcoin and then not being able to spend it because the fees were too high at that moment in time. I have experienced the joy of using Bitcoin, not needing to transfer. Like, when I was in Costa Rica, literally did not need any local currency ever. I just had Lightning. And when I ran out of Lightning, you know what I did? I sent an e-transfer from Costa Rica, and Lightning was in my Bitcoin wallet like 30 seconds later, courtesy of bitcoinwell.com/join, baby. And I think that cannot be overlooked. And so that was granted, though, done in a custodial environment. But that's what companies like ours and like others, that those two likes don't count, by the way, because it's an actual proper use of the term like. But that's what companies like ours are here for. And who will build the roads? Who will make Lightning better? The capitalists will make Lightning better. The capitalists will make the payment networks on Bitcoin better. Because one thing is for sure, and you nailed it. Bitcoin is sound money. Bitcoin is perfect sound money. And it happens to act like a payment rail in the early days. But Bitcoin is a terrible payment rail. It is a good store of value and a bad payment rail. And so having a payment rail that we can use, and is that going to be Lightning? Is that going to be Liquid? Is it going to be a combination of two? Is it going to be something we haven't dreamt up yet? I don't know. But us in Bitcoin Well and other companies who share similar values to us, we are now charged. This is a meaningful task. This is part of our mission to enable independence, is to make non-custodial or self-custodied Lightning as easy as it is now to self-custody your Bitcoin. Because, dude, before hardware wallets, when Bitcoin protocols were just kind of coming out, before seed, like, imagine storing your Bitcoin without a seed phrase. That's petrifying. And that was the reality. And then someone said, hey, this is weird. We should change this in the protocol. Okay, great. Now what do the capitalists do? Hey, with seed phrases, we can use a dice list. Okay, great. Hey, that makes generating things a bit easier. Now my wallet can do it, but you can still use your dice list. Okay, great. Like, you see how the innovation happens with protocol changes, but it's so slow because there's not one dictator at the top driving things forward. The innovation is so slow in a decentralized community like Bitcoin, and we have to be patient. We have to check our time preference. And I think the payment rails have to improve. Now, again, I've been in this space for 11 years, and I am just now getting my head wrapped around balancing channels and sorting out how Lightning Network works. But it is pretty good. Once you fully wrap your head around it, it's pretty good. It's just taken me a ton of time to sort it out. And I'm not sure how the average normie is going to sort that out.
Yeah, I wonder where the incentives lie for the developers. Because thus far, the incentives have lied towards, let's make it easy. And the way to do it easily is to make it custodial. Yeah,
but that's like developers, though, are mission driven, especially Bitcoin developers. I mean, there's no incentive to develop on Bitcoin other than just getting the badge of being able to say that you developed on Bitcoin. So I wouldn't necessarily say that there's no incentive. I would say that the incentive to develop on Lightning could, in in some years be just as, if not more important than certain protocol improvements, like the Block Wars, like BIP 39, like all of these important things that have happened on the backs of talented, passionate individuals. I hope that the future of Lightning is in similar hands.
I hope so too. I guess that's where my main question lies, is who wins out in the long run? And this is where, maybe this is why the socialists like were doom and gloomers, because it seems like it's always the assholes that have the upper hand. There's very few, Adam, you know this well, there's very few non-custodial exchanges. You guys and Bull Bitcoin and that's, I don't know if there's any in the EU. I don't know if Relay is non-custodial. I hope they are.
I like Relay though. They seem like good people.
They're good guys.
But anytime you have an easy to use thing, it's generally going to be custodial, unfortunately.
Exactly, right? So there's so few guys out there driven to make something that works, that's easy. And so we just have to hope that those dudes come up, I guess. We just need more Francis Pouliots. We need more Adam O'Briens. We need more of these guys that can create awesome things for hardcore fucking Bitcoiners that also can be used by the everyday person. The everyday person can use Bitcoin well so fucking easily. All you have to do is download a wallet. I guess that's where it comes down to, is how difficult is it to download a wallet? Well, that's only getting easier and easier with time too.
And so that's what I'm saying. There's pockets of the economy that are, of the Bitcoin economy, I mean, that are popping up, making things easier. We provide a certain service and others provide a certain service. I mean, I'm talking to the guys at Foundation. They're making a wicked cold storage, like they're called the Passport. And I think it's fantastic watching them innovate and then watching CoinKite innovate with now the cold card Q coming out. We're just seeing these pockets of innovation inside the space. It's only getting easier. It's only getting safer, but also it's only getting more important to self-custody your Bitcoin. And I think that's also the same way it's very difficult to be in shape. It's very difficult to have kids. It's very difficult to be a contributing individual to society, but it's so important that we all do it. And owning and controlling your own Bitcoin is the same mantra. It's very, very, very important to self-custody your Bitcoin. And if our generation doesn't get that, our kids' generation will, because we will. And if no one else will, you and I will beat it into the kids. I mean, figuratively speaking, we're not going to literally beat the children. But we need to emphasize how important it is to self-custody your Bitcoin. And then let the capitalists figure out ways to innovate and monetize that doing.
I completely agree with you 100%. I still think the problem lies in that self-custodying Lightning right now, as it stands, the way Lightning works, I don't know how much you know about the tech side of Lightning, but we can give a brief little overview. You first need to create a channel. To create a channel, you need to send an on-chain transaction. So in order to do that, it's going to cost you transaction fees. So if you don't have these Lightning channel set up before a high fee environment hits,
that's right,
you get screwed, which therein completely makes useless the Lightning network altogether. If you can't create a channel because it's too expensive, then
you have to have some foresight, right? You have to have, the same way you need to consolidate UTXOs when fees are down. Hey man, owning your own money and being your own bank, so to speak, takes work, and there's proof of work. Bitcoiners aren't scared of the work, and new coiners coming into the space need us Bitcoiners to warn them, yo, this is not all prosperity, abundance, and sunshine. You need to put the effort in to be sovereign. You need to put the effort in to be free and control your own, you know, financial independence. And I think that I spent the last 2 weeks and consolidating all of my cold storage devices and opening Lightning channels. I opened up 6 Lightning channels this week when fees were, I had transactions going through at 9, upwards of 15 sats per byte. And I probably paid a few hundred fiat dollars in, maybe a little bit more than that, in fees. But it was all well worth it, because now I've got Lightning. I can send and receive, you know, a few million sats here and there. And I feel like I understand the technology a lot better. But it took the pain. It took first of all, the experience of, okay, buying a pizza in Costa Rica is not viable on chain, period. There is no pizzeria ever, other than Papa John's in 2010, I suppose, going to accept a on-chain transaction, because it's going to take too long. The flow is just not nice, because you're right. Bitcoin as a payment rail is competing with Visa, MasterCard, and peer-to-peer cash. But that experience can happen easily today with custody or inside of a custody wallet. Now it's my job to fully understand how that works inside of a non-custodial environment and then make it so easy for the customer to do it. And honestly, I've got no idea how we're going to do that. I've got a couple of different theses that I'm going to be testing out over the next months and into the next year. But it's a total crapshoot, man. It's very, very difficult.
So maybe it's another Bitcoiner's responsibility here. Thinking about, I go back and forth a lot whether a Bitcoiner's duty is to orange pill the world and bring mass adoption, or for us to just put our two middle fingers up to everybody and say, "Hey, we win. If join us or get fucked, you know, have fun staying poor." I really go back and forth on that. But when you think about your own family and your kids, it seems simple. I was just thinking about this. The best thing to do is have self-custodied Bitcoin. And then if you want to have a payments channel, you can set up a Lightning channel. And for me and you to do that right now, like you said, I mean, we saw fees at fucking... I was looking at Time Chain Calendar, I guess this was a few weeks back, 700 sats per V-byte. It was unbelievable. Dude. That was I'd never seen anything like that before. And then, yeah, like you said, it came back down. It's at 15 now, which is crazy. If you're listening to this, I don't know when it's probably going up in a week from now. Hopefully fees are still low. Consolidate your freaking UTXOs. It's important.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe this is our responsibility to our children, is to set up these Lightning channels for them. Because who's to say in the future, or just... And this is the other thing, but then does it... Okay, let me gather my thoughts here. It'd be important to set up a Lightning channel node, wallet that is self-custodial Lightning for your kids. Set them up. If you're saving sats for them anyways, why wouldn't you save it on a Lightning wallet so that they can actually spend it when...
Well, that's just it. It was actually Julian that said this to me. He said, "I've come to realize that dollar cost averaging on-chain is redundant and a little bit not necessary, a little bit punitive," were the words that he used, which really hit home to me, because I thought about it for a second and very proud. I DCA twice a week. I have an automatic bill payment that gets sent from my bank, goes straight to my cold storage wallet. Thank you very much. Actually, it's my wife's bank, because I am unfortunately debanked, but the act of doing that on the blockchain suddenly creates a UTXO problem that would, when fees are 700 sats per byte, makes it impossible to spend. So great. You've got all this value sitting in a locked up wallet. And I think you're bang on, man. I hadn't considered that. Maybe our goal right now is, when we see 12, I'm looking at it, the mempool right now, 12 sats per byte or per V byte. That's low. Open up some payment channels right now. Do it. But you can't do that unless you understand. You can't understand unless you're interested, right?
Exactly. You need to put in the work, and you need to figure out why it's important. So if you think that spending Bitcoin and all of its glory, you know, all the buzzwords of Bitcoin is in the future, if you think that's important, then you should set up those channels. I do wonder, I was just going to say a little anecdote. I have a buddy that I halfway orange pilled. He has a, Well, him and his wife just had a daughter. She's probably like 5 weeks old now. Anyways, so I was going to send, I sent him some sats. Like, hey man, I got some sats for your kid. Just send me an address and I'll send you over some sats. Congratulations, whatever, right? Because he's on the other side of the country. So it's like, here's your gift. But so I asked him, hey, have you consolidated your UTXOs? Because fees are kind of fucked and they're low right now. I was at 30 at the time, right after the 700 madness. And he just responds back, what is a UTXO? And I was like, oh, yeah, fuck. fuck. I was like, shit. Okay, here we go. So he went to go do it. And yeah, this is kind of just a story for people to understand, if you're listening to this, how real it can be. My poor buddy, I was like, yeah, man, look into just sending all the sats you have in your wallet, whatever it is, and move it to another wallet. And he said, dude, the fee is going to cost me, should I say the number? I'll just say it was roughly 600 Canadian or 600 American.
Yeah, man.
Dollars for him to send the sats that he had, which was, you know, that's a lot of fucking money to send a transaction.
That's
a
sting, dude. That's hundreds of thousands of sats.
Exactly.
Gone. Yeah, that's a sting.
And you don't even know that's happening. So it's important that people know this. And again, this comes back to why Lightning is important. And then that again comes back to, does Lightning... I'm not trying to make a circular argument here. I feel like I am. It's important to have your sats consolidated in UTXOs that you can spend. But it's also important to have them in channels on Lightning. But it's also important to not have them in custodial solutions. It just drives me crazy, Adam, when even at the sats market that Ben threw, every person there, oh, this was the other question I wanted to ask you. Don't let me forget. Every person that was there had Wallet of Satoshi up. And yeah. I'm like shaking my fist. Why are you using this shit? This is an inevitable, it's an inevitable rug. There's zero chance in my mind that this thing doesn't not either get taken down, which it fucking did in the States. Like straight up, that happened. The end.
Yeah.
How people are still using this app is fucking insane to me. And who's ever behind it at any given point, this is speculation, I don't know for sure, but at any given point they can just wipe all those sats and take them for themselves, because you don't have the keys to those sats. It's just Bingo. An account balance. So being a fucking insane crazy hardcore Bitcoiner that I am, I don't trust anybody. The most important thing to me is Bitcoin can't be stolen. If Bitcoin isn't a custodial wallet, it can be stolen, therefore it's not Bitcoin. It's stupid. So, all that to say, I'm still trying to find the solution. Maybe I think I kind of already asked this question, but being somebody that's been around for so long, do you think we're working towards finding that solution? Am I just being Chicken Little saying Lightning is failing?
No, man, you're just early. You're experiencing the pain, the same pain that hardcore Bitcoiners felt prior to the innovation of seed phrases and good hardware wallets. You have to remember that we're decoupling from a fiat system that only had custody. There was no option for self-custody. And in most people's minds, until you get burnt, I have people that lost money, or I have friends that lost money in Quadriga and still don't understand why custody is bad. It's a brutal battered wife syndrome-esque problem with our brains, where we know the problems that exist because custody, as you said, can just be rugged. It's just somebody else's server that we have no access to. And we still don't abide by it. But you have to, I think, get some perspective and zoom out to the fact that custodial Lightning will inevitably lead to better non-custodial Lightning. And there will be pain along the way. Don't you doubt that for a second. There will be pain along the way. And hopefully the pain is mitigated by quicker advancements in technology. But as long as we are true to our ethos and true to our values that, as you said, Bitcoin on someone else's server is not your Bitcoin. Bitcoin in someone else's key, someone else's wallet, someone else's control is not your Bitcoin, then I think we kind of have a duty, you and I, to tell this. We kind of need to become evangelists for self-custody. And I think I'm a current active user. And actually, I just sent you a tweet in your DMs, and I'll read it here. It says, I just helped a normie friend consolidate 50 plus UTXOs and onboarded to Lightning via custodial wallet. Next step is making non-custodial Lightning as easy as custodial. And that is the absolute mindset that we need to have. Not this sucks, we should just stop, but rather how do we innovate and make it better? And I think that's the Bitcoin way that we need to do, but we need to do it fast. And 700 sats per byte is coming back, make no mistake. And I think that when 700 sats per byte comes back, we need to be ready with Lightning channels open so that we can help onboard the next wave of Bitcoiners. Because I remember this has been a problem forever. Like I remember in 2015, 2016, 2017, the fees then were crazy. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like today with a bunch of institutions racing to get a piece of the pie.
Well, they're not really buying on chain, man. It's all paper Bitcoin anyways.
Well, no, but it's all moving to Coinbase.
Yeah, like that's true.
That's the problem, right? It is. It's moving one time to Coinbase. And granted, it's moving at the end of the day and blah, blah, blah. But it is moving on chain. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I think maybe the key that I'm trying to get to here is just, if people don't know, it's the same thing with Bitcoin versus fiat money, right? If people don't know there's a problem, then they're not going to look for the solution.
Totally. So
if people don't know there's a problem with Lightning in that they're using either custodial or that it fails when fees are high, then they're not going to look for the solution. So maybe that's my mission, Adam. Just let people know there's a problem here. Stop acting like there's not a problem. And like you said, don't just do nothing and give up. Start fucking working on it. And there are guys working on it. The Mutiny Wallet guys are working on it. I know the Phoenix Wallet guys are working on it. I do want to talk to you about Bitcoin Wells integration with Lightning, in that you kind of did it in a roundabout way. I tested it myself. It failed, not because of on your end, but because of the wallet I was using. So I was using Phoenix.
Yeah, fees, you know what, man?
Yeah.
I actually don't think Phoenix is good, because Phoenix has this illusion of self-custody, but Bitcoiners, generally speaking, know that don't assume self-custody with higher fees. In fact, I think exchanges, like custodial exchanges, to their peril, have been charging people for withdrawals that people associate custodians with fees, but when you have Bitcoin in your own wallet, you're not paying any extra fees. But what Phoenix has done is kind of, I guess, made the fees bite-size. And I don't think Bitcoiners are used to paying bite-size fees inside of self-custody. Like, obviously, we're used to paying mining fees. But I mean, on top of, like, we all assume Lightning, it's free. There's no, or like a couple sats on-chain fees. But when you have to buy liquidity, if you understand what that means, just run your own node and get a wallet client that connects to your node. You don't need a wallet in the middle of that. So I think this is a weird hybrid that I'm really interested, I guess, to see how it fixes itself up. But like, you should fully just be running your own node. I use Zeus on my phone. I used it twice tonight. I was at a Bitcoin meetup. I bought, shout out, Bitcoin trading cards. I bought some trading cards for my kids and a cookie. I used my Zeus wallet client, connected directly to my node, and sent Lightning that way. It was just like a normal wallet experience, except for I had full control and I didn't have to pay for routing fees because I set up my channels when the fees were low.
That's awesome. Yeah, that goes back to the idea of just being completely self-sovereign, running your own node. And it goes back to the idea of, this isn't going to be for mass adoption. We can't... Oh man, I wish I could have more faith in humanity at large, but I just don't. I don't think a lot of people are going to run nodes. I think hardcore people will run nodes. I think it's important that people do. And then, yeah, it's the same thing for a lightning node that you run as well, because that's what Phoenix said. It's like a lightning node on your phone, but yeah, that's not really how it works either. I get frustrated.
Here's the thing. Your son will run a node, right? Like your son will run a node.
Yeah, he will.
My four kids are going to run nodes independently. They're going to learn how to do it when they're 10, maybe younger. And probably two or three of their friends will run nodes because my kids are going to tell them how important it is. And I think that that will continue. And I hope that will continue because it's very, very, very fun. It's very, very, very like independence bringing. You feel very good about yourself when your node ticks on and you see your node routing Lightning transactions. It's like, this is awesome. I'm part of something bigger than myself. And I think that that's important. And I think that our kids will relish in the opportunity to be part of something like that.
Hell yeah, man. Bitcoiner kids are going to rule the world for sure. No, yes. I completely agree with that. I just come back to, I feel so jaded from Lightning, given Moon was like fake Lightning. Now it seems like Phoenix is like sort of fake Lightning. And
it's just a failed Satoshi's Lightning.
It's just so many failed experiments over and over again that
yeah,
we kind of just have to sit back and wait for something to actually work rather than...
No! Go build something, man. Be critical and then go build or have, you know, learn the tech. Like that's the Bitcoiner way is that if we wait for mom and dad to do it, then mom and dad are going to do it wrong. If we want it done right, you know, let's get onto it. Let's do it ourselves. And the guys at Phoenix, I respect them. They're putting their nuts on the line and trying to figure out how to build in public and do it together. And same thing with Nostr. Like, I'm not sure if you've used Nostr, recently. It's way better than it was, but it still sucks. Like Nostr is brutal, but it's so important. And kudos to every individual putting their dick on the board to get chopped, you know, not to be too vulgar by the market, but then those lashings are what makes a better product. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We got to give the lashings. We got to fairly distribute lashings and then appropriately give, I think, insight and feedback to how this could be better and improved.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make something better without realizing a failure of something else. I'm sure there's a saying in there, failure is just the road to success. Or there's something said like that. Yeah,
there's a song, and the guy says, I don't make mistakes. My mistakes make me. I love that. I embody that. Every time I make a mistake, I'm stoked because I know that I can get stronger and I can hopefully learn from that mistake to make a better thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. The goal is just to not make the same mistake twice.
Twice. Yeah. and definitely not three times.
and my boss listens to this show, so he's probably shaking his fist at me right now. Like, you idiot, keep my... It's all good. That's funny, man. Okay, well, I'm still feeling like, yeah, Lightning just has a long way to go, but that's okay because it's a journey and it's a process and that's all right.
You and I have a privilege here. Our grandfathers fought with literal guns and in war camps, and they were in a war for you and I to live a really, really good life. You and I have to suffer through Lightning and Bitcoin innovation so that our kids and grandkids can have a really, really good life. And I think that's okay. I am stoked to be building for the future because I don't think I'll ever experience in my young adult life a really solid, trustworthy, reliable, like I used it twice tonight, but it took like probably three or four, maybe not quite three or four minutes, maybe 2 minutes for my... And I'm using Tor browser, so it's very slow and like convoluted. And it just takes a long time for the wallet client to connect to my node. And you can see why it sucks. But I think that the more that I do this, the more that I understand it, the more that we can innovate, and the more that companies like ours can innovate, the more we're doing for our kids to be able to have the experience that we crave. And I think that's positive.
Oh, absolutely, man. Great, great message. That's something I think about every day when I'm having a hard day. I think about the guys that were at literal war shooting against some field and some other guys. It's like, yeah, it could definitely be way fucking worse than whatever I'm going through. Eric Kaysen just posted, what the fuck are we doing here? The world is fucked and the politicians. I'm like, we're going through a revolution right now. We're taking the money out of the hands of the...
Dude, we're separating money and state. It's crazy. It's like
fucking
awesome. When the church and state separated, there was just centuries of war. It's crazy. We are in the most peaceful revolution of all time. We should consider ourselves lucky.
Absolutely. No. And I remind myself of that every day. And it fills my heart with joy for sure that we get to do this. But there's still battles to be fought. And just lucky that they're not bloody battles. They're just buggy battles.
Buggy battles. You should coin that, dude. That's pretty good.
I just thought of that. That's pretty good, man. Okay. We're getting somewhere. Yeah, it's unbelievable. The time we get to live in with Bitcoin, with Lightning. I'm okay. Final question then.
I don't know if I lost you. What the deal is. I can still
check,
see.
Check.
These wavelengths on my side.
Hello. It might be on your side. It still says I'm recording. I'm going to pause it.
Yeah, you got her.
Okay, quick little edit. Don't know what happened. Adam's Starlink clearly failing us here.
I'm on fiber right now. I'm at the office. I'm Yeah, man. I'm plugged into the maybe the socialists heard us and they try to there's too much independence in this conversation.
too much sovereignty talk.
That's right. I don't actually like we're not Yeah, we got. Maybe I should be careful. This is what gives us a bad name. This is why Max Fawcett and Dean Blundell think I'm a doomsdayer. Yeah,
they're listening to us and they're trying to shut down all the Bitcoin podcasts.
How dare they?
Yeah, they're stopping the signal. We're gonna keep spreading the signal even if they try and shut us down. That's the most important thing we could do.
You can't stop me.
Can't stop us. Can't stop fucking Bitcoiners, man. We're gonna keep building. We're gonna keep doing. That said, why don't you let the audience know where to find you, what to look for, anything you want to show? Definitely let them know about Bitcoin Well because I'm a big fan.
Oh, thanks, man. Listen, this has been awesome. I would love for you to check out bitcoinwell.com. I want feedback. We are leaning into
Okay, hold on. Pause. I'm sorry to stop you in the middle of your shill fest here.
That's okay.
What's happening on the back end? When I put a Lightning address into my Bitcoin Well account, do I need to change it to, because you said you were able to get Lightning in 30 seconds from an email transfer. So do you have your Bitcoin Well account set to high fee priority, or does it automatically do a Lightning transfer if you put a wallet of Satoshi in there or whatever?
We're fully, I wrote a blog post on this actually, bitcoinwell.com/blog. We're fully using the custodial wallet providers that swap on chain into Lightning for a fee. And my thought process behind this was, look, I know the struggles that non-custodial Lightning providers are having right now. It's a customer support nightmare to offer Lightning because like you can send Bitcoin to any address that you want. They don't have to do anything, but you can only send Lightning to a channel that is properly routed. And the majority of people have no idea how to route channels. So it's difficult. And my thesis here is let's get people, I want to understand how many people are interested in Lightning and get a full understanding of how we're, in order to full get a full understanding of how we're going to do it. So what I did was I set my default speed to high priority. I think I used medium actually. And I sent an e-transfer. I set my default wallet address to the wallet of Satoshi address. I sent an e-transfer. The e-transfer was instantly received. Bitcoin transaction instantly broadcast. Confirmed very, very fast at that time. And then wallet of Satoshi for a 1% fee traded from on-chain to Lightning. I then sent that Lightning wallet or that Lightning to the merchant and off we went. So it's very much cheating. It's very much us. What we've done, like Bitcoin Well, our ethos is very much using existing infrastructure to make it easier to use Bitcoin. We're not quite middleware, but we're definitely excited about the prospect of leaning into the existing infrastructure and adding Bitcoin on top of it. And so we do that with the banks all the time. For example, we're actually working on this cool feature right now, and this is maybe where I'll start shilling. We've just added the ability to manage addresses, kind of like a contact book. And so you can pick when you're on the buy screen different things, but you can also add a label to your addresses. And you might think, well, that's not very unique. You know, you can do that at Kraken. You can do that probably at lots of other places. But what we're going to do is you're going to be able to send an e-transfer, and in the memo of the e-transfer, put your label, and the Bitcoin will automatically be sent to that label, which is going to be insane. Because what this means is I can take your Bitcoin address, for example, add it as Sly in my managed labels in bitcoinwell.com. And then I can send a $50 e-transfer, send to Sly in the memo. And then the Bitcoin, instead of going to my wallet, will go to your wallet. It's going to be remarkable. I'll be able to send you Bitcoin, but not paying a transaction fee, because I'll set the transaction fee to low, and which is free. And also without actually having to sell my Bitcoin, I'll just buy new Bitcoin to send to you, all without incurring a mining fee. And so little things like this that we're kind of looking at, okay, you know, the e-transfer existing infrastructure is there. How do we innovate on top of that with Bitcoin? And that's the kind of stuff that I love doing. And that's why I'm so bullish on our ability to find ways to use the Lightning Network, because anything that our team understands here, we can innovate on so well. And so I think it's at the point now where someone is going to have to take existing infrastructure and make it better. And I'm confident that Bitcoin Well can play a piece and a role in that.
Right on. That's a cool idea, man. I like that idea a lot. So just to confirm then, if I have a, regardless of which address I have posted in there, whether it's a custodial Lightning address or my own Lightning.
Well, you can actually put a Lightning address in Bitcoin Well. Like it won't accept that as a good address.
Oh, okay.
So it'll only accept an on-chain address.
Yeah. So no matter what, you're still going to wait for one Bitcoin block confirmation.
You need to. Yeah.
Regardless. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it is what it is. That's the way it works, right? That's a thing. So I think just being upfront about that is more important than, you know, we heard like Coinbase was going to integrate Lightning and all these. I think Bull Bitcoin has too, but I don't think that many people are using it. Maybe time will tell. We'll see what happens. We'll see how prominent Lightning becomes. It'll be interesting to see. I like that new feature that you guys are adding. That sounds really cool. Anything else new? How's development in the States been going?
Good. We just actually, happy you asked, we just launched in all 50. So previously we were only allowed to go in 38 states, but now we're in all 50 states. We've just partnered with Simply Bitcoin. They're an incredible show. They share our similar viewpoints. Their mission is to effectively separate money and state, which is like, yeah, let's go. And so we're excited to get some turbocharged eyeballs on our brand and really grow. It was actually probably earlier this week, Monday, I think, or maybe Tuesday, where for the first time we had about as many transactions in the States than we did in Canada. And we launched, like, we just went live out of beta in the States. It's only been a couple months. So it's been good. It's been growing fast. And I'm looking forward to, again, continuing to innovate. But man, let me tell you, we think we have it bad with the Canadian payment rails. Good grief, the US payment rails suck. It's so bad. So it's been difficult to find ways to innovate down there, but we're heads down, keep building, man. That's all we do. We just keep our heads down and then keep fighting the good fight.
Right on, man. That's good shit. Yeah. So Simply Bitcoin, good guys over there. Big fan of Nico and the other fella. Can't remember his name Opti. Right now, but Opti, that's right. Yeah, dude, great shit. Bitcoin Well, definitely the place to buy sats. I'm a big fan. I'll just keep shilling you guys for free. Don't worry about
You're
it.
You're good, man. I appreciate that.
No stress, brother. Okay, anything else you want to say? Shill your Twitter if you want. Anything, any personal stuff you want to send? Any final thoughts or messages to let people know? And then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, sure. I'll why don't I show my Twitter and then I'll open up a can of worms for everyone. You're gonna, I'm not sure how you'll feel about it, but let's hit it. So definitely check me out, Adam O'Brien_ on Twitter. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Bitcoin and what we talked about. And more importantly, though, I want to hear from you, the community, on how we can build better. That's our whole ethos this year, is community building. We're going to be building in public. You know, I'm going to metaphorically put my dick on the chopping block, and I want people to throw slashes when they're merited. So please help us out there. And then lastly, I've been diving into this concept, which has been very, very interesting. I actually spoke about it in Costa Rica for the first time. And it's this concept that Jesus is a Bitcoiner, and how being a Bitcoiner and being in this industry and being a part of this community is actually on a pathway to a life with Jesus. And so I'll leave you with that. That way you have to bring me back to explain more, and we can dive into that together.
Absolutely, man. I love discussing the similarities between Jesus and other historical figures of the past, man, and what they were trying to do. You know, the thing Jesus got crucified for was saying, hey, what if we all just loved each other and you treated each other the way you wanted to be treated? Wouldn't that be nice?
Totally, dude. Totally. And they decided they murdered him. He's like, hey, yeah, Everything you're being told isn't actually that true. And the master centralized government is like, whoa, 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 whoa. we can't have this guy saying that.
there's some
obvious more nuance there, but yeah, man, it's shocking. And then even like Jesus preaching low time preference and how God in the Bible is talking about money and the way that money should be. It's a cool journey I've been on, man. And I'm excited to, I'm in Montreal, actually. I'll be speaking. I'll be giving a similar presentation. So if you're going to be there, then you'll be able to hear it.
Right on, man. Yeah. I still don't, I don't consider myself a Christian, but I am a big fan of Jesus. I went to church when I was a kid a lot, you know, and now I'm still trying to find my way. I still really appreciate what Jesus said and what he did, but I struggle with personally with going all in on one religion. I'm just not there yet, man. So I'm still on that journey myself. But that said, still a big fan of Jesus. Think he was a good dude. Actually, I guess I'll show an episode of my show. I can't remember who it was now. Me, my old co-host, Doug, Bearded Hoddle, at Bearded Hoddle. And it might have been Kaysen. Might have been Eric Kaysen. And we discussed Jesus and the similarities with Satoshi. So go back and check out that episode. I'll put it in the show notes. So Adam, check that out. And I'd love to get your feedback on that one.
Sure.
It's definitely a intriguing topic, man, because I mean, one thing we can say for sure is both dudes changed the world fundamentally forever. It doesn't matter whether you believe in what they were saying, preaching, building, or releasing or discovering. Regardless if you believe them or not, the world is now changed, like full stop, right? So there's a lot to be said, there's a lot to be discovered, there's a lot to be discussed in that realm. So definitely I'll have you back on for that one. That'll be a lot of fun.
Man, I'd love that sounds great. Maybe we can all do it together. Let's bring the other guy on too. Let's all chat.
Yeah, dude, I kind of want to start doing that. Let me know if you're still listening at this point of the show. You must be a somewhat of a fan. I'm spitballing with the idea of bringing on like two, not conflicting person, but two people from the Bitcoin space that you don't often get to hear together, because there's so many one-on-one conversations with podcast hosts, podcast guests, you know, like this one, for example, me and you. But there's so many interesting people in Bitcoin, and I think more conversations need to be had between people that either share similar values or conflicting ideas as well. You know, get somebody that's all about fucking this shit is spam on the blockchain, and somebody that's saying that it's valid transactions. We didn't even get into that. I kind of wanted to touch on it, but and another time again, man, there's just so much to talk about. It's endless and it's beautiful. And that's why I love talking about Bitcoin, but it's all good.
Yeah, man. It's so good. It's so good.
It's so good. Okay. With that, if you're still listening, hey, best thing you do, like, subscribe, do, what's the other one? There's three of them.
Notifications like, on, bro.
Notifications, share. I think that's it. That was another thing Julian told me. He's like, I said, do you think that shit really matters? Well, he said Mr. Beast made a empire out of it. All right, fuck.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'll say like, comment, and fucking subscribe, whatever. Do those things. Maybe it'll make a difference. Maybe it'll help the show, the algorithms, and whatever the fuck else. If you like the show, share it with a friend. That's what I prefer. I want peer-to-peer podcast going around. If you have a friend that you appreciate and you want to understand Bitcoin, share this show with them. That's what I think would be cool. And the best way to do that is on Fountain. If you're not on Fountain, it's good. You can earn sats while you're listening. You can send sats to your favorite pods. You can send boosts with sats, which is really cool as well. And I think that's all you can do on Fountain. And as always, if ever... Okay, so I think that's it. We're going to keep bringing episodes every week. I got a few in the locker, so stay tuned. Every Friday, we're going to be putting up a show. It's fucking awesome. Adam, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you. Listener, thank you. And remember, as always, just make sure to buy as much Bitcoin as you can before the end of the world. Okay, peace.
Peace out.